from a magical house in Hawaii to an ancient red panda curse to a D&D-style adventure and more, this episode is going to be quite an adventure. So grab your magical staff, your surfboard, and anything else you need for questing, and join me for one hell of a ride on this episode of Lasers and Lockets, the podcast that celebrates strong and complex female characters in science fiction and fantasy entertainment. This is episode 508. Welcome or welcome back to the show. I'm Lee, your friendly neighborhood host. This episode was likely one of the most fun episodes I've put together in a really, really long time. See, the world might seem awfully scary right now. It's full of uncertainty, unhappiness, fear, and division. But I embarked upon a quest to find my favorite Disney Pixar films with strong female representation, and I watched a lot of them over the past 2 weeks. When I was a youth, the princess stories of early Disney never really resonated with me. I didn't see myself in them. But Disney has so much to offer nowadays, and they aren't just the typical damsel in distress princess fairy tale. I've narrowed this list to my five favorite movies, so it isn't, you know, a Lord of the Rings, Quest to Mordor long episode, but I hope that you'll find the exploration of these films enjoyable and helpful if you're looking for a little bit of light and adventure in your life as well. So let's go ahead and dive right in. First up, Encanto. I had not seen Encanto yet, although all of my friends continually informed me that I would likely adore it, and I was not disappointed. They were 100% correct. This is likely my new favorite Disney film, and I would say it's likely the best Disney film that has been released in years. The storyline of Encanto is powerful, and to me, it did a wonderful job of exploring loss, trauma, mental health issues, and self-identity. There was no real villain in the film, which I always love, because the struggle was really internal within the family and also within each person. I feel like Disney kind of took a page from Pixar's playbook, because of course Disney and Pixar are an entity now, but I thought of a film like Inside Out when I'm thinking about this particular film, where much of the conflict is internal, inside of the characters, especially inside of Riley in that one. In Encanto, though, the family's magic was dying and cracks were forming because they weren't talking about the important things, really. In addition to the music in this film being an absolute masterpiece, the characters were rich, full of growth and depth, and they were relatable AF. Let's go through some of the characters here. Mirabelle is the lead character, and Mirabelle feels like an outcast because she was not given a gift like the rest of the Madrigal family. But really, Mirabelle is kind of the glue that holds everyone together. She is such a relatable character, and I loved seeing a character on screen wearing glasses. I don't know how some other people feel about that, but for me as a person who has to wear glasses because contacts do not do well in my eyeballs, and I have such dry eyes that it would be hard for me to get LASIK. The Mirabelle wearing glasses was so relatable, and I felt like I was finally being seen on a film, and I loved that. Isabella is the oldest sister, and she feels intense pressure to be perfect and to sacrifice her own happiness in order to do what her family wants her to do. And that's one thing that I really love about what Mirabelle teaches Isabella, is that she doesn't have to be perfect and she can still use her gift to the fullest potential. And it's such a beautiful part of that story. I love the relationship between the sisters. You know, I always love a good sister dynamic, and this film is absolutely no different there. Another incredibly relatable character to me was Luisa. Luisa is super strong and powerful, but she's being crushed under the weight of the constant pressure from everyone due to her physical strength, but everything that everyone wants her to do all the time. Her song Surface Pressure was an absolute pure masterpiece. And I don't know all the technical words or terms or phrases when it comes to music, but that song just spoke to me. There was something about the way that it was arranged and the musical devices in it that really, really was powerful. But Luisa is such a cool character. And one thing that I really loved about that character, and it's something that everyone who loves Encanto brings up, is that she's not the typical Disney princess sort of body shape. She's strong and powerful. And the beauty of it is that they kind of step away from the typical sexism that still is very real in the world. And Luisa is this character who's perfect as she is, as big and as beautiful and wonderful as she is. Abuela is another really powerful character to me in the film. I was worried that Encanto would fall into the typical, the trope of the unexpected villain. And I was worried that Abuela would be the unexpected villain in the film, but she really wasn't. Abuela was so afraid of her grief and in denial that she pushes everyone around her to be perfect and to protect the miracle, if you will. And she sees Mirabel as a nuisance, or that she was broken in some way because she wasn't given a gift. And we really see a lot of growth with her as a character through the course of the film. And I just love Abuela. She's such a wonderful character in the film. Julieta is the mother of Isabella and Luisa and Mirabel. And one thing that I really love about Julieta is that she can heal people through food. And I love that because I love to bake for people. And I think that that's such a wonderful way to have her be able to heal people. She's a character that radiates a lot of real warmth and kindness to everyone. And she loves and accepts Mirabel as she is, not what she wants her to be. She just sees her as she is. And I really, really love that. And I really love Julieta in all of her simple, calm quietness. She has sort of this calmness about her that I just really love. Pepa is the next character, and she is one of the quirkiest characters on the film. And she has the power to control the weather, which I think is a really fun one, but the weather is only controlled based on her emotions, which I think is such a really interesting way to explore emotions in this type of film and to explore it with children in that way. Peppa is such a powerful character because she shows the depth of human emotions and that they are often ever-changing. And you kind of see her struggle with controlling her emotions. And she's a fun character on the film, and I really enjoy her. Dolores is her daughter. And Dolores is that character that we all love who knows all the hot gossip around the town. And in this particular Madrigal family, she has super hearing, which I think is wonderful. So she can, even if you just whisper, she can hear what you're saying. And so she knows everything about the family, all the secrets, everything that goes on. And I really love Dolores as a character. Overall, Encanto is fantastic. And if you haven't seen it yet, this is probably one of the films that you should definitely watch, even as an adult, or show your children, or it's perfect for every age group, really. Next up is a film that would be considered an oldie but a goodie now, is Lilo and Stitch. I remember seeing this film in 2002 when it was released. I believe I was in grade 11 at the time, and I remember seeing it in theaters, and I loved it even then. And watching it now, it still holds up to this day, which I think is wonderful. It was the first time in my memory that Disney had realistic female characters on screen. Lilo's sister Nani was a real woman, not a typical stick-thin Disney princess like we'd seen before. And she made me feel like it was okay to be a real person as well. The depth and complexity of the characters was welcome at the time. It wasn't about a Disney princess at all. It was about Ohana, or family. And I loved that. Lilo and Nani had such a beautiful sister bond, and I feel like Disney did such a fantastic job exploring the complexities of a young adult, Nani, suddenly having to take care of her younger sister, and all of the difficulty that goes with that. I love the way that they show the art direction in it, as far as the way that the house is just a disaster, but she's still trying to take care of Lilo and to help Lilo feel like she's loved and that there's nothing wrong with her. A lot of the other kids think that she's weird and a loner because largely they don't know how to interact with her after the tragedy that occurred. But I feel like they do such a beautiful job in the film of exploring that Ohana, or that family connection there. And it was one of the first films that really made me fall in love with Hawaii as well. And I hope I get to go there soon, because I just love the many concepts of that beautiful, beautiful island world. So Lilo and Stitch is still a film that absolutely holds up to this day, and it's one that has really powerful female characters in it. Next up is a film that may be somewhat of a controversial pick, but it's Turning Red. I liked Turning Red. The message of the film was powerful, I feel, and the nostalgia factor was hugely powerful for it. As somebody who was raised in Canada in the early 2000s, I loved it. And it was a true coming-of-age tale, which I think is always a powerful thing. There's a power, I think, in acknowledging in this film that being different, that having something that could be seen as a curse to some, could also be a blessing to others, and that we have to let people choose their own paths. There are some interesting characters in this film. First up is Ming Li, the mother. Ming Li, to me, was a really powerful character. She wanted to keep Mei Lin safe and shelter her from the potential reality of this curse. But in doing so, she was holding on to her too tightly. And if you hold on to something too tightly that you love, you're going to lose it eventually. In wanting her daughter to turn out different from her, she held her closely, which I thought was an interesting thing. She didn't want her to have the same experiences that she had as a teenager, and yet she ended up doing the exact opposite of what she probably was trying to do. The mother had distanced herself from her sisters and her mother after her past to protect them from herself, I feel. And I think she had a lot of guilt for what had happened in the past. I think that's something we can all relate to. Ming was a very relatable character in that way. Sometimes we feel guilt for things that we did in the past that we may not ever be able to find forgiveness for. And yet, she still grows into being this strong and powerful woman who has raised a really great daughter as well, which I love. The aunties in the film were really a fun part of the film. Their roles were fairly minimal, but I feel like it was a powerful demonstration of that sisterhood and the willingness to step into the darkness with their sister to help. And I feel like that was a really cool exploration in this film, was that desire to help their sisters. And yeah, I just really loved the auntie's role in the film. The grandmother also had a fairly minimal role in the film, but I feel like she was a really good example of forgiveness and the love of a good parent for their child. No matter what, she loved Ming and she loved Mei Lin, regardless of past decisions. And I think that she was also a really good example of helping Mei Lin understand that her choices have consequences and that it is up to her to choose ultimately the path that she wants to follow, and that she has to live with that, the consequences of that decision. And I think that was a really interesting part of the film, was exploring those heavier topics there. Mei Lin was essentially the lead character in this film, and she's just a teenager coming of age, wanting to go see boy bands. She has some awkward friends. She is just a really adorable character. But then she discovers this really terrifying thing about herself, and she feels pressured to be perfect, to be a high achiever, to serve her family and love her parents and be perfectly obedient. And her character has this really interesting exploration of independence and of that maturing of a teenager. Not everyone is going to love the message of this film, but I really enjoyed that exploration of strong emotions, of anger, of various strong emotions, and how Malin learns to counteract those by remembering how people who love her trust her. And I think that that's a really, really cool thing that the film goes through. Her ability to control her curse was really powerful throughout the whole film. And I think that it showed that she was her own person. And while it may not be exactly what her mother wanted, it made her happy. And it helped her to grow and to be a better person. And I really loved that part of the film. And really, just the nostalgia factor of the film was so much fun. So much fun, for sure. The next film here was an unexpected delight, and it was one I didn't expect to actually be a film that would have strong female characters in it, but it's Onward. And while this film may be about two brothers going on an epic Dungeons and Dragons style quest to find a gem so that their father isn't just a pair of pants anymore, the mother became an unexpectedly complex and powerful character by the end of the film, and I absolutely adored that. I was so happy when my friend gave me this recommendation for this film. Laurel Lightfoot was such a strong and kick-ass character in this film, and you're not sure you expect it at all at the beginning of the film, but just you wait when you're watching it. Laurel has raised these two sons alone, and she's raised them to be creative and kind and questioning and full of that compassion and love for her, where they live and the people around them. She's taught them to be inquisitive, and she knows it's got to be hard for them without their father, but she wants them to be individuals who believe in things like possibility and magic. And I love that about her. And I really love something that seems so small in the film, probably, but it's something that was really powerful, is that she fosters an open communication with her sons. Like, in the film, when they go on their epic quest, they don't just leave without saying anything. They leave a little note on the door for her. She's the one that brings them the gift from the father that's the magical staff. Her kids can talk to her about anything, and I really love that about that particular character. And I really love that when her sons take off on the quest, her goal is not to stop them. It's to help them succeed because she loves them. And I think that's what a really solid relationship is that you don't want to stop somebody from doing something that they feel is the right thing to do. It's to help the person succeed in doing what's right. And I love that. The other character that was really unexpectedly delightful was the Manticore in it. And when we first meet her, she's just a tavern owner, and she's forgotten all about her bravery and her capabilities until Laurel shows up. And then she's reminded of who she really is and what she can do. I mean, the two brothers first come and find her, but then the mother does, and the mother is really the one who reminds her of who she is and how powerful she can be. And I just love that. And the Manticore was just funny. It was just, overall, that film was unexpectedly delightful and also a tearjerker at the end. Just full on bawling by the end of that film. I loved it. The last film I'd like to discuss as one of my top five favorites now is Raya and the Last Dragon. This film was absolutely stunning. And a powerful exploration of trust and caring about people other than ourselves. Raya was a wonderfully flawed hero, and while her father was petrified in the first few minutes of the film, I find it fascinating that she chooses to hold on to hope and not to become too bitter. She doesn't trust others readily, which I can absolutely relate to on a spiritual level, but she does recognize that it's okay to ask for help, and she finds a really delightful found family along her journey. And the character was just such a fun one, and one that actually demonstrates a fair bit of trust in strangers to help her really achieve her goal in the long run. Namari, on the other end, was an incredibly complex and messy character. While she may come across as callous and cold at times, you can see how she really struggles with doing what she believes to be the right thing for her family and her people. I think that that's a really interesting dynamic in this film, is that everybody thinks that they're doing what's right for their own people and their own family, and they're forgetting what it is to be a world, a nation, a world, really. And I think that that's something that was really powerful in the exploration in the film. Even when Namari did, even at, you know, after what Namari did to Raya, Raya still believed that Namari could change, and I really appreciated that in the film, especially when Raya realizes that her own weaknesses and shortcomings were causing a lot of the issues too. It's just it's a fun film. It's one that I was totally, you know, it came out of left field for me, but I loved it. And I found it to be just a really beautiful and delightful film. The art in the film was absolutely stunning. There are some goosebump-inducing moments in the film, and you'll know them when you see them. But it's a film, I think, that flew under the radar for a lot of people, and I don't know if it was released solely to digital or if it actually came out in the theater and then quickly came to digital, but I probably should say that all of these films are available on Disney Plus, so it is definitely worth it to have a Disney Plus subscription if you are interested in exploring these films after this episode of this podcast, because yeah, these films are wonderful. And of course, Disney has a lot of other films that are great, that are not just the typical Disney princess type of films. I wanted to mention a few honorable mentions here because I would be remiss if I didn't mention them. They've kind of fallen out of my top five favorite at this point. Okay, so the first honorable mention, I would feel remiss if I didn't bring it up, is Mulan, the original one, not the live action. I don't really want to see the live action anymore after talking with some of my friends, but the original one was such a powerful film to me. Mulan was kind of that film that first changed everything for me with Disney, because I saw that she wasn't a Disney princess. She was the hero of her own story, and she wasn't a damsel in distress in any way. And I loved that about her character. Mulan grows so much over the course of the film, and you really see her strength and surety develop as she goes, but she's a beautifully flawed character, and the film is still so much fun. Anytime I hear the songs from that film, I am immediately transported back to being a youth and wanting to dance on my bed or the couch, belting out those songs. So Mulan is still one that I would definitely recommend. Another honorable mention here is probably an unpopular opinion, but the film Maleficent was actually something that I really liked. I saw it in theater, and I feel like it's a film that really flips the script on that traditional sort of true love's kiss storyline. And you get to see the complexity of how Maleficent became who she was. And I just really, really loved that. It sort of changed the narrative of that particular fairy tale. And yeah, I would recommend it. If you haven't seen it, I think it's worth a watch. Ultimately, the thing I learned from this really wonderful quest that I adventured upon is that Disney and Pixar have really grown up to tell powerful stories about strong and complex women. To remind us that while dragons might exist, they can also be slain, and that you can be the hero of your own story. That we are just as brave and strong and powerful as anyone else. And I love that about what Disney and Pixar can do for us. And I love that You can do all this from the comfort of your couch. You too can have an adventure and watch these all on Disney Plus. So it was definitely worthwhile to go through dozens of films over the past couple of weeks. And I feel like it really empowered me and lightened my mood and gave me a lot of hope in the world, which was sorely lacking. And I love that. Do you have a favorite Disney or Pixar film that you feel like I should add to my roster of ones to watch? Do you agree or disagree with any of that I've discussed tonight? I cannot wait to hear your recommendations and thoughts on this. You can tweet them to us with the hashtag LasersLockets, or you can join the conversation over on our Discord server. The link is in the show notes for that. And I think that's it for this episode of Lasers and Lockets. If you're not already following us or subscribed to the show, please take a few seconds to do so now. It really helps our little show out. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can just click the little plus sign in the top right corner to start following the show. Also, you can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Lasers Lockets. And we'll catch you back here in a couple of weeks for another episode. Until then, stay curious, kind, and full of wonder. Get your nerd on and be awesome. All right.